Thank you, Lord God, that you are God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in each one of us and you use each one of us to do your work. We thank you, Lord God, that for the children and for each one of us here, you are the one that continuously teaching us, guiding us, and leading us. We also pray for those people who are not here with us, whether because they're sick or away with some other reason, or even with Jennifer and Jerry on the way to Israel, and with Lynn and Don. Lord God, we thank you for the blessing of our church together as we gather together. And we pray for, as we lift up all those others who can't be with us today. But you can teach us all, Lord God. We praise you, we thank you, and we glorify your name. Amen. And I have a message today, and I'm trusting in God, that God will help me to bring the message out, as well as for each one of us to really dwell on what God is saying to us. So last week I shared about that we are using the new Bible study material called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And it's based on this pastor who had built a very successful church in New York. So they have been doing church really well. It's grown and it was so big. But at the same time, they have, as leadership and for himself, they struggle so much until the day that he just crashed. His family didn't, his wife didn't want to be with him, didn't even want to be in his church, didn't want his leadership. And some of the leadership didn't want him to be the pastor, to be, his pastor, their pastor. So you have this really big church, but it was crumbling down and then to the point of it was, whatever man was building wasn't able to sustain the growth, the size of the numbers of the people in the church, because there's something within them need to change. And out of that really brokenness, he got healing from God. And the marriage was restored and the leadership got restored. So he wrote this material, really. A lot of it, not just training for leaders, but actually for leaders to be able to work healthy. Everybody within in the church, in the body of Christ, we all have a calling from God. It might be in a marketplace. It might be in as a home, you know, like for that season. It might be in a church. But if we are not healthy emotionally, we could cause a lot more damage. So this material he have laid it all out of different sections of teachings. Really, actually, it's not about how to do church, how to build church, but it's actually how fundamentally as believers, how can we actually say we love God? We all do, but how can we stop making the same mistake that we keep making? And a lot of it is really drawing back to the basic God. But within that, there's healthy and unhealthy things that we keep doing that cause more problems. And it's not just for church, because the health in that studies is when we actually could get it within ourselves, it's healthy for us in our own personal life, in work, in home, at home, and in our friend circles. And it's amazing. That's what I keep saying. It's amazing. If anybody really wants to, even if you don't want to do the study at this time, if you want to get it, talk to me about it. I will order more books for you guys. Even if you can't come to the Bible study. I know a few people are saying that they would like to do it already. So one of the devotional that he will say will be, it's almost like it's almost like a religiously things. It'll be one of those things that he said, let's be silent and be still for 2 minutes before you even pray or read the Bible. It's almost like that time that you just say, I'm putting everything aside. I'm going to take time out. Sometimes we can actually think we have done our devotional. We come down, we pray. We have a whole list of things that we want God to do. We might even do really well with worshiping God first And we will worship for hours, especially for people who are worshipers or worship leaders. They will worship for hours and hours. But there is a almost like a lost art, or lost, we lost something when it comes to the stillness and quietness. We know that as those of us who grew up in churches, maybe very traditional churches, we will only know churches is when you get in, you don't really talking loud. You have to be very quiet. You whisper. And if you're kids, you can't run around. And you definitely don't raise your arms up if you're singing. So for a lot of the time, we wanted a church that we have a really freedom to worship God. Really that big freedom. And in the midst of that, looking for that freedom to express ourselves, to love God in a way that God put that in our hearts to do. Like we could dance before the Lord. Those scriptures are in the Bible. But in the midst of that, we could almost reject something in a traditional church that we might come from. That's stillness and quietness. So in his devotional, he will have that time of really focus on that time of being still and quiet. And he got that from when he went to, when he was really broken. He went to a few of the monasteries. He went to lots of different ones, not just Catholic ones, but he also went to Protestant ones. And in the midst of that, he actually found something that is very precious. It's that time that we're just being still before God. And there are many, many, many scriptures in the Bible talk about actually God call us to be still, to be silent before him. And this is one of my main core of the focus of the God's gift of silence and stillness. And sometimes we might have forgotten about that. For me personally, I do grow up in a traditional evangelical church. It's not something that my church would have done, but my dad does it all the time, because he was a ship captain that traveled across big oceans. And he always talked about when he was in the middle of the ocean, there's nobody around you. You see all across looking out. You only see water. You don't see land. And you look at the skies, you see all the stars. And he said, that's the time when I feel the most closest to God. There's no distractions. It's like when the Bible says when we go to the wilderness, there's no other people, there's no houses. You look across, you see just sand. And then you look up at the sky, you see all the stars. And so many people say when they go to that place, when they do visit those places, you actually feel that place is like, God, you created this. It's almost like blinding out all the distraction in our lives. And for us, it's difficult when we're living, for the author who wrote this Bible study. He was from New York. It's difficult. But from us, even in Dungarvan, we don't live in a big city. We live in a town. We can still find that difficult because we do have people all around us. We do have things that we need to do. We do have traffic all around us. Even if we're not talking to them, they're still there. The noise is still there. The sounds are still there. Even at home. But to be able to draw away from that time and say, I need this stillness. Just to be quiet before God is a gift. It is something that we have to practice. When I was talking to Kyle about it, he said it is one of the hardest things that we have to do, especially for people who serve God. It's the place that we feel that we need to be actually, we could feel so close to God. But when you're actually leading a church, your mind is turning so fast. You're thinking, I need to make sure that one is, that area is covered. The key church is covered. Who is doing this and who is doing that? The last things you feel is being still. Because it's like you're in a home before you go on a holiday or before a party or something. Your mind is thinking of 5 million things that you need to do that you haven't done. So for us, we have to, for leadership for sure, we have to actually find that time during the week. But sometimes when you have so much stuff you need to do, And people phoning you up saying, "I help, help." And then you feel, yes, I need to help you. But he was saying, Peter was saying, from the guys, Peter Scassero. He was saying, what he found in a ministry, his ministry was, they were so focused on doing, serving God. It doesn't matter whether it's leadership or people. Every day, you know, people come into church, they say they want to serve in a welcoming team or hospitality. Sometimes you're so focused on serving God and so focused on things that you have to do for your own personal life. So busy, 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 busy. Even when you go to devotional, you're thinking, okay, this is my time for devotional. Okay, this is my things that portion I have to read. This is my prayers. I've done that. And it become a to-do list. And what he found when he went to the monastery is, he said that they actually have very strict time. Time for prayers and time for serving. Really strict. And there is time for rest and there's time for fun, relax. And he said that actually helped him in a big way as serving church and also instilling that, teaching that people in the church, when you serve God, just because you're serving God does not mean you actually, sometimes when you do so much of it, sometimes you could lose that connection with God because it becomes doing, doing, doing. And we could, in the midst of that, forgotten that close connection that we have to just sit before God and just be with Him. And that is first and foremost our relationship with God, is be with Him. Out of that we serve. And a lot of the time when we're talking about churches being that silence, or even whether it's our own time or our in a church, sometimes we actually lose that a lot of the time in modern churches, because we have great worship, we have great time, and the music's amazing, and you just feel the presence of God. And then you kind of, but some of the traditional church, they will have that time of just being with God in that stillness. And in the midst of that, we lost it. And that is scripture. It's time, scripture say, there are times you be silent. And I've been to church, I've been to big meetings, some of them are really amazing meetings, like conference. You have thousands and thousands of people. You really feel the presence of God in the midst of the worship. You just know. And you're crying and pouring your eyes out, and you have no idea why, because the Holy Spirit is working in your life in the midst of all of those worship. And I've also been the most amazing meeting in the midst of that worship. Suddenly, everybody in the worship team, I'm talking about big conference now, you're talking about thousands of people, the worship team, suddenly everybody stopped playing and everybody stopped singing because of the presence of God was so thick there. You just, it's almost like the king had walked in. You're not going to say anything. I've also been to meetings, that big, huge conference, that the leader on the stage would say, "No, we're not going to talk. We're not going to have any music. We're just going to stay still and be silent until God speaks to them." And that's powerful. But I've also been to meetings that when that happens, you have a lot of people asking, "What's going on? Why aren't they talking? What's happening? When do we finish? How long do we sit?" And then you have kids say, "Mommy, when can we go?" And that, in that moment, you kind of almost like became, okay, let's just finish, wrap up the church, and then we could go home. And I felt that almost within myself, I really feel that God wants us to be still and be quiet and listen to Him. But because we have that time watch that we're so used to sticking to, the meeting finished at this time. This is now this time. Let's just get on with it. When you actually, when I was feeling like, no, let's throw that timetable out of the way and let's just sit. Let's just wait on God. So I do feel that we need teaching on this and we need practice on this to understand and not lose that, that really, really precious moment of being with God, whether it's in our own lives, in our own devotional lives, or as a church in a cup, in, you know, like together, whether it's a few of us here or when we're in a big conference, when you have thousands of people. And I'm just going to share a few of the scriptures in the midst of sharing what's the purpose of the silence. Okay, that was purpose of resting. When we have busy, busy life, we live in a life that everything is quick. We have drive through everything. Maybe not in Ireland, but in America, they have a lot of drive through everything. Drive through weddings, drive through banking, drive through food, you know. At least we don't have that in Ireland, but the mentality is still there. We want it quick. Not because we have more time to do things with our family, to have more time to rest. So we want things quick so we have more time to do more stuff. And people have competitions, even saying like how much things they've done, because it's this performance mindset, almost like a competitive, even in school and in work. And people boast about that they didn't have much sleep and they still complete so much work. And they're proud of them to be able to do that. And it became like the whole place of rest is gone. A whole place of restoring your soul and your spirit and your body in that place where you actually just enjoy the stillness is gone. That place of quietness. I know what it feels like, especially as parents when I was young, or if you work in a place where there are lots of kids, they're talking all the time. They might ask you things all the time. Not judging you, John. But as parents, I know that I have to, there are times when I have to just hide away, almost like, I just need a few minutes just to be on my own, to that quietness. But in the world, we live like that all the time and not realizing we're doing that. So that's the purpose of silence, to rest. And there are times when the silence is to respect people, respect God. There are places like in a church, but also places like when we go to funeral or, I don't know what other example. I remember a time when, there was, something happened. I was a teenager. I think I was in UK already. There's something tragedy happened. Lots of people died. So they have set a time for 2 minutes silence. It doesn't matter where you are, whatever you're doing. And I believe I was in a town. I was in a city. But I knew about the tragedy, but I didn't know about the time that they have set to be silence for 2 minutes. So I was walking with my friend. Suddenly everybody stopped. The car stopped. The bus stopped. It was like one of those comedy films or science fiction films. Suddenly somebody sat and everybody stopped what they're doing. But it was like that. Suddenly I was walking and talking to my friends. Everybody just stopped. There was people all around me. They all just stopped and they had their head down. And I was saying, what's going on? And everybody stare at me and just like, shh, 2 minutes silence. And I said, okay. And that was a 2 minute silence to show respect for the people who have lost their lives. And obviously in church or in school when your teacher is speaking or in, another one I have experienced for that silence was in courts. A few years ago, somebody drove into us, a big truck. So that we have to go to court and the insurance going to give us money. So we were in the court and then sitting on the front was the judge, the top, you know, the highest judge in Ireland, one of the highest. And we didn't do anything wrong. And she was on our side. It was like the coolest things. But we have to be silenced. We have a solicitor, we have a barrister. They didn't talk. They just passed yellow notes. There was a room full of people. Nobody's allowed to talk unless if the judge speaks to you. And you answer a question. And she was tough. And then there were a time when she was wanting to talk to Matthew and Jonathan. But she called them up to her individually and asked them questions. So 1 minute she was like a judge sitting there. And then, but when she was talking to them personally, she was like a nice grandmother. The whole posture changed, but still, no matter what it is, everybody in the room, you know, you have to keep silence. And then you have also time in the Bible scripture tell us to be silent. It says faith building time. To silence the fear within ourselves. But also it was like a spiritual warfare. Because they were, in the Old Testament, it was a time when there was warfare with the enemy. But God told them to be silent. The first one would have been in Exodus 14. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." God commanded them to be silent. And the second one would have been in Joshua. And a lot of us know the story, the history of it. When they went to Jericho, the wall came down. But this is what Joshua said to the people from God. "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout, then you shall shout." So in these two incidents, to be silent was part of their spiritual warfare. It was God command them to be silent. Imagine all of those people. The first instance was Moses with the Israelites. And there was masses of people. And the second was when they were walking around Jericho. Imagine all of that being silent. I can try to imagine it. But it would have been difficult for me to actually really comprehend. What is that like? And that was God commanded them to silence. And then we also have time of silence of waiting on God. So if it is something that we're really praying, asking God to answer our prayers. But if we keep saying, "Lord, I need you to do this for me." But when God actually say, "I need you just to have patience and wait." There are times when our kids might be really wanting something, but I said that you have to wait. But if they keep asking and asking and asking, I will tell them, be quiet. And God will have his timing sometime when we want something, and we know that it is something that we feel that God is going to give it to us. So it's not like I'm asking for something that is not his will. But sometimes there is that place of waiting. But in waiting of trusting that he's going to make it happen. Not waiting and keep screaming and frustrated and angry and worrying and stressing about it or fearing about it of why isn't God doing it now at this instant. Like when I want my drive-through meal. I don't want to wait for 5 minutes. That's the whole purpose of drive-through meal. But with God, there are times when he say, "No, this is time that you have to trust me. Stop praying and asking for something that I already told you I'm going to do. But your job is to wait and have peace and trust in me." So that's waiting on and waiting to receive and trusting for the right timing. So here's a few more scriptures about waiting and being silent and that restful place. In Psalm 46:10, "Be still," and that word actually means be still also in our voice as well, in that calmness, stillness. Like we can actually be quiet, but we can still keep moving in our own lives. But we can also need to be at a time when we'd actually be still, actually completely stop moving and be quiet in that place of peacefulness. So be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then another one is Zechariah 2:13. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he has roosted himself from his holy dwelling. And I have two more. This one is from Habakkuk 2:19-20. Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, awake, to a silent stone, arise. Can this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And the last one, Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Silence for half an hour. When I was talking to Kaya about being silent, when we have to do that, when we have to do talk about it in a Bible study, everybody say, it's actually not as easy as we think when they say 2 minutes. Because when we're silent, a lot of the time all these thoughts suddenly come to you. You know, you could be worshiping God, and suddenly when somebody tells you to be silent, you started thinking about lunch. Or we could be worshiping God and we would say we're going to be silent before God. You start thinking about all the problems that you have at work or at home or with different people. That silence, even if you really time it, our brain keep turning. We might not be moving, our lips are not moving, we are silent. But within ourselves, it's almost like, how can I get my brain to be silent before God? How can I be in that place of still before God and honor him? And in that place of trusting him instead of worrying and worrying and worrying. So I don't believe it is silence and be still just about our body and our lips don't say anything. But there is that place of stillness and silence before God because we are in that place of, I trust you, God. That's in that place of saying, I know I have all these troubles and all these worries, but I know when you're with me, you are my answers. And that time of just being still, it's almost like as a child, they would just come and sit on, you know, Matthew or Jonathan, they would come and sit on my lap. And they weren't talking. I wasn't talking, but they were just comfortable sitting there, just resting their head on your chest and resting and just cuddling up to you. There's no worries in their mind. There's no struggles in their mind. They're not thinking about where they're going to get the next meal, or they're not worrying about where they're going to go to university or college or who are they going to get married, or they're not worrying about the kids, they're not worrying about anything. But can we come to God in that place and just sit with him and just completely still and say, Lord, God, you are with me. That stillness within ourselves and say, I actually really trust you. And I thank you for this time that I get to sit with you, Lord. Even if I didn't pray, but I have been refreshed because you were holding me, because I know that you have it all covered. And that place is precious. It's not easy to do. If I say, let's be silent for 2 minutes now, we might find out things that we were worrying, but we didn't even know we're worrying about. Things that would just pop into our mind. Things that wasn't an issue suddenly became an issue. Your stomach wasn't hungry, but suddenly you feel like you want to go and eat. Or you might suddenly feel like you need to go somewhere. Or wondering, what are they doing? How are they doing? All of those thoughts keep coming. So it is a practice. It is a discipline. Kyle actually said it would take about a month. But I'm thinking of like, in the Revelation it said, heaven was silent for half an hour. Heaven was silent for half an hour. Again, it's not something that I could comprehend. I could try to imagine what that's like. I can't even comprehend what it's like in my life, in my world, when I'm with people, to be silent for half an hour. We can do it, but our mind's still turning. And this is the last scriptures that a lot of people probably know about. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it's one of those verses that we will know a lot. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. We might not have experienced all of those different times, but we understand in this earth there are different people experiencing different seasons in their lives in that. And for us today, this message is about knowing the gift of being silent. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. So if you're reading out Bible verses about speak, there are times when God commands them to be silent. But there are times that God actually told them off that they didn't speak. Because there are times when God said that, I need you to do this. I need you to speak it out. I need you to declare it. And people didn't do it. So there are time and different seasons. So we need to know, and we need to even maybe practice for our own lives. Time to be silent. And to have that as part of our lives, as part of our devotional time with God. I heard this testimony of this guy years and years ago. He's a worship leader, and his time with God is in a car. He'll drive to work about half an hour every day. And he'll have the music, worship music, really loud, and he'll be singing and worshiping God every day, going to work and going home. And he just loved it. And he feels the presence of God. And he just absolutely enjoys his time. Even when he's stuck in a, rush hour, he's still happy, because it means that it's more time for him to be with God. But there was this time he was saying, he just heard this voice tell him to turn off the music. And he thought, okay, spiritual warfare, telling Satan's voice to get behind thee. And then he turned up the worship music even louder, and he was singing it even louder, because he's going to worship God no matter what. Nobody's going to tell him to stop, and nobody's going to tell him to turn it off. And then he heard it again, turn off the music. And then he said, okay, this is serious. I need to get my pastor's church leader to pray for me. And then he'd get prayers and asking people for prayers. And then he heard it again. And he felt that, what's this, Lord? What is that I'm missing? And he just sensed that God is saying to him, I'm the one that's telling you to turn it off because I want to speak to you. So he turned off the music and he stopped singing. And that's when God said, now you can hear me. Your music was too loud. When you are worshiping me, I love it. But I also need you to hear me. And we forget that sometime. That would be like if I'm going out with a friend for tea and coffee. Let's say Renee. And I keep telling you, Renee, you're so awesome. Your voice is beautiful. I heard you worship. That was great. And you're going to do dancing. I keep talking to her. I keep telling her how amazing she is. And then I keep saying, like, I'm so excited for you. Everything is great. And then I start telling her my problems or things that I'm worrying about. Be like our prayer lives. We worship God and then tell him how much we need him in our own personal lives. And then we leave the room thinking, I've done it. I prayed, but I still feel awful. Then it would be like if I spend time with Renee, she'd never actually have a chance to open her mouth because I was so busy praising her and then telling her my problem. So this guy actually said his life transformed. He actually learned when to worship. He actually learned when to sit still before God and just receive from God. So when I say that, this is a blessing, not a religious thing, say we have to be silent. But it is a blessing when God wants us to be silent. Sometimes that time is so precious. You just feel the presence of God and then God speaks to you. Without taking time out and being still, we might not know what that feels like. Without stopping, we won't be able to have that time to pause, to stop. Without pausing, we can't hear God. Without hearing, we don't know what God wants to tell us. You might have something within yourself that God said, that is your gifting. I want you to pursue that. God might be saying, this is what you can do to help with the struggle that you're experiencing. We might have answers from the Bible, but sometimes in our own personal life, we do need God to tell us specifically where we can go, who we can go to, or how we can actually seek answer to the problems that we have. And then without hearing and knowing what God is saying for that season for us, we can't obey God. Let's say God is saying, I really see that gifting in you, whether it's the music or working with children. I feel that this is what you can serve me in the kingdom of God, in the marketplace. But we might have so much fear or we might have so much struggle with it that we don't know where it is that God wants us to say. And we keep saying, what is my purpose? We keep hearing people say, what's my purpose? If we don't spend that time with God, we can miss it because we didn't stop. We didn't stop doing what we're doing. We didn't stop talking. And then we couldn't hear and we miss it. Or we keep struggling of the same thing. And when God say, I have the answer for you. And then in that moment, we hear the small, still voice of God saying, this is the way. Walk in it. I'm with you every day. So let us, as the body of Christ, let us enjoy this gift together. Let us pursue God in all the freedom that he has given us, whether it's through music, through dance, through worship, through teaching, through reading the Word of God, but also through the stillness and silence, and enjoy God together and grow together. And for Peter Scarcero, he found that place of rest when he takes those time out. Not only does it actually help us in our time of struggle, but also when we actually read scripture, the time of silence actually allow God to speak to us in those scriptures, what God is speaking to us in our own personal lives. Sometimes we read the scripture, we actually don't understand it, or we struggle of how does that apply to our lives because we feel we couldn't do it. So in a time of being still, we're actually giving time to God and say, Lord, teach me. And then we listen. We listen. Because the Holy Spirit is a teacher. And then we could get confirmation with others when we go to Bible study. And when we come together, we all say, God was speaking to me about this. And part of that gift, when we're talking about the prophetic, you know, giftings, is that stillness. So we know that it's from God. We know that God is the one that's speaking to us in it. And it is a gift. It is a gift. It is a gift that we can all treasure. So let's pray. Let us just take the few minutes in silence before God. Be silent, all creation, before the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We are your creation. You created each one of us. You are our Lord God, and we give you glory and honor. Amen.